what Trey shared really is pertinent for today. And so as we go into it, just remember those guys sitting there. And, you know, it's interesting because the religious folks were sitting there anticipating Jesus to heal so they could criticize him. There's several instances they did that. And it's sad today because there they were believing more than believers today, knowing he was going to heal. Now, they didn't perceive it spiritually, but they were there because they knew he would, and then they could offer criticism. Today, I've got two things that I thought were separate that the Lord wanted me to do. And I know he told me to do, but they're not. They're related. And I asked Pastor Trey, could I pick up on what he talked about last week for just a few minutes? And to be able to minister in a place like this where the pastor says, man, you do what the Lord tells you. I just want to tell you that's a blessing. And it blesses you more than it does me, because it means his word is not hindered, no matter who's up here. So I appreciate that. Do you remember last week we were talking in Mark 9 and in the other accounts about the healing of the epileptic boy? And we got to talking about, at the end of that story, why the disciples couldn't heal. And Jesus said, this kind doesn't go out except through prayer and fasting. And Trey talked about that a lot. As he talked about that, he read the scripture in Matthew 26, verse 41, said, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And it was like, as he was talking about that, I could just hear the yearning in some of our hearts here in the congregation. Said, Lord, I want to be able to do that better. I want to do that more. I want to be more, not diligent, but I want to press into that and break through that barrier he was talking about, from where it's just, I start with my flesh, but I end up in the spirit, if you can understand what I'm saying. And he reminded me of something that we talked recently at another venue. And I want you to look at Colossians 4, verse 2. And if we can use the King James, Emmy, on this one, it would help me. Colossians 4, verse 2. And we're talking about watching and praying. Continue earnestly in prayer. And that was what I heard is the heart's desire being expressed. And then it says, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, can you put the King James itself, that translation up, because it uses the word watch in it. And so in verse 2, in this one, what it actually says is continuing prayer and watch. There's that same word. Watch how? In the same what? In the same way you continue in prayer. And then it says with thanksgiving. Now, let me read you two other translations. My New American Standard says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The Amplified goes on to say, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. And what I want to tell with you is, when we look at this one verse, what do we see as a hint to us of how to stay vigilant in our prayers, how to stay alert in our watching, in our persevering? And the answer is that last word that you see there, last phrase, with thanksgiving. I have found in my life that when I focus in my prayer time on thanksgiving, that I am more effective in getting into that place with the Lord. Now, the reason that I was so impressed with this when the Lord gave it to me and started preparing for today's scripture is, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, this verse in New American Standard's fine for this one. This verse says, but thanks be to God. So there's that thanksgiving again. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks. And let me tell you, you can tell somebody, oh, I'm thankful to God for this. But unless you are telling him, or unless you're telling the person to whom you are thankful, you're not giving thanks. Something has got to come out of your mouth. Well, I believe it in my heart. Well, if you're full enough in your heart, it's a thanksgiving. It's going to come out of your mouth. And so what this verse says is, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The King James says, is giving. And the point I want to make on that is, it's in a continuous present tense. He did give. He is giving. And he will give. So that brings the question then, in my prayer time, when I'm seeking him, when I've prayed about something already and believed I've received it, when should I be giving thanks? Well, certainly we want to give thanks for what we have received and has been manifested. But what else do we want to do? We want to give thanks for what he's doing today in our lives. And if there's something that hasn't fully manifested yet and you're praying about it, then we need to be giving thanks for that now. Mark 11, 23 and 24 talks about believe you receive when you pray. Well, if you believe you receive when you pray, then why not give thanks for it? Because what you're saying is, even though I can't see it with my physical eyes, I got it. And that's where we're going today. And I didn't see the link between these two. When he told me to do it, I thought this was just kind of a one-off. But if you want to persevere in prayer, if you want to be able to watch, and I'm not just talking about watch when it talks about watch for his return, but watch in terms of being alert. Don't go to sleep after an hour like they did. Let me urge you, develop a thankful heart. Now, I'm just going to say this and take it with great love. It's not as bad as I make it sound. When you run out of things for you to give thanks for and feel like you still need to develop a thankful heart, look around at what he's done for others in this body. You realize that if we gave thanks for all the stuff God's doing in here, we could be thankful all day, every day. Because you know what? They are part of you. And when they prosper, we ought to rejoice, and we're going to prosper with it. Now, today, and leading into this, I want to continue talking about receiving from God. And we've talked about, when we introduced this, we said that everything we receive from God has to be by faith. Romans 5:17 says, those who receive the abundance of his grace. Well, if I have to receive his grace in its abundance, that means everything I get comes through that grace. So I better be really, really effective in receiving. We talked about guarding our heart. We talked about acknowledging and living with an awareness of his power, because that's where his kingdom is. His kingdom is not just in word, but in power. And so today I want to tie into what we just talked about. And so when do we give thanks? And what I'm going to tell you is, we give thanks for things when we see that we have it. And what I want to, the title of what I've given Emmy today for this session is seeing myself in his promises. Seeing myself in his promises. That means you seeing yourself in his words to you. And so that's what we want to really focus on today. We're going to start back in Numbers, the 21st chapter. Now in Numbers 21, we're going to start in verse 7. Just read 7, 8, and 9, I believe. But in this chapter, the people have murmured. And they realized they'd sinned because the snakes came. And in verse 7, pick up there, it says, so the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord. And you intercede with the Lord. Well, let me stop there. You say, boy, isn't that nice to have people who intercede for you? You got the master interceder interceding for you, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And if it impresses you that Moses' prayers were answered, look to the man, Jesus, who's been touched with everything that you have, and know he's praying for you, as well as all the other folks that the Holy Spirit puts on their hearts who hear it and will be obedient to do it. And then he went on and said, they asked that the serpents may, that he may remove the serpents for us. And so Moses interceding. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. Now let me stop there. Remember, these are old covenant people who didn't know hardly anything about God. That's why the law had to be given so they could learn. So they don't have the revelation that you and I do today, that that fiery serpent on that pole raised up was a type and shadow of Jesus. I mean, they may have known that bronze had to do with sin and judgment, and all they knew was that serpent was representative of what was biting them. So with that background, then let's read the rest of it. And it shall come about that when everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. Verse 9, and Moses made that bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And when it came about that if a certain bit any man, serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, I want to ask a question, and then we're going to take a quick side trip and come right back to the question. What were the people seeing as they looked at that bronze serpent? Now, let's back up. We've talked about seeing before. Trey's used the example. I know I've used it, and I believe Robert's probably used it. How do we see? We know these orbits here, our eyes, catch light, reflected to our brain. But as Trey has said, words create the image. My son is here with his dog today. It is a black dog. It is a big black dog. It is a lab, a black lab. It is a great dog. It is so gentle with the kids that my granddaughters, his kids, like to get down and just lay on the floor with it. I mean, they can do anything to that dog. Now, what have I done? I have described to you the nature of that dog. And you see an image in your mind of what that dog is and how he is. You feel like you know that dog. You've got a picture in your mind. So now, with that then, I want to go back to the question, what were they seeing when they looked at that pole? Were they seeing just that bronze serpent? Or were they seeing the words of the Lord that said in verse 8, when he looks at it, he shall live? So you got mamas and daddies and grandparents too. And maybe one of them's holding a young son that just got bit. And while they're holding it and they're looking at it, and the looking was a beholding. It doesn't mean a quick glance and look away. It means stay there. And you'll see this come to life more as we talk further today. As they look at it, they feel a snake running across their foot. I know that gives you the shivers just like it does me. But what are they doing? They're continuing to look. What are they looking at? They don't understand what that snake means. What is motivating? What is the picture they have in their mind that keeps their face fixed on that pole? I believe it's the phrase, when he looks at it, he will live. They see that son they're holding being healed while they're looking at that. Otherwise, they couldn't look at that snake without that conviction that this child I love is going to be well. They would be doing this. But they are fixed on it. And so what I believe the Lord has shown us here in this is that when we look to Him continually, then we can look with expectation. Look at Isaiah 45 verse 22. This serpent to them represented His word that says when He looks at it, He's going to live. And that's the picture that was in their brain. Isaiah 45, 22. let's do King James first and then come back to New American Standard if we can do that. I think it'll be flow easier this way. King James says, look unto me and be ye saved. Now, if you go back to New American Standard, it says, turn unto me. The word there for look and the word there for turn means literally turn to look. So what is he saying? He's saying, when you look at me, you should have an expectation of what? Being saved. Now, we know saved means a whole bunch more than just a ticket to heaven. It includes what we're talking about here today, healing. And so when we do this, and do you reckon those people, the Hebrew people, had an expectation? When we are looking at His word, then we ought to be looking in an expectant manner to receive. Now, do we see this in other places? Yeah, go to Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, the spies had been sent out. We're going to start in verse 30. They scoured the land. They came back and said, well, it's just like the Lord said. It just is rich. And then they went and said, but, and the goat talk started. But, there's cities are fortified. Were they? Yeah. There's a lot of people there. Were there? Yeah. And there's some giants there. And they were. And then in verse 30, after they said that, Caleb interrupts and he quieted the people before Moses. And he said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. Next verse. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Now, we need to see here that the ten saw the same things that the two did, Joshua and Caleb. But what influenced Joshua and Caleb more was not what they saw as they went through the land, but the word of the Lord that had come saying, this is your land. I'm going to give it to you. Go take it. Now, you can see that because in 32, they gave this report and saying, the land throughout which we gone and spying out, it is a land that devours, eats up, literally is what that means, its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw there are men of great size. So where were they looking? Just at the physical part of what had happened, of what they saw. And what they saw and what they described here is accurate. But look at what it did to them. 33. There we also saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And those were the giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. Now, when it's talking about in our own sight there, they're not talking about how they saw themselves physically. They're talking about the perception they had as compared to what they were seeing physically. And so we were in their sight. Well, how did they know that those people thought they were little bitty squirts? In fact, it was just the opposite, because they had heard about them and they were fearful. But you see what being dominated by physical senses will do? It will block us from perceiving or seeing in the spiritual sense. Now, I want you to see one other thing in this verse, or in this story. Go to 14, chapter 14, verse 9. Let me just read verse 9. You go on to 14, to 24, Amy. 14 verse 9, Joshua is speaking. He says, don't rebel against the Lord and don't fear the people of the land, for they are our prey. Their protection has been removed for them, and the Lord is with us. Therefore, do not fear them. Verse 24, the Lord says, my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me fully, and I will bring into the land which he entered. I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. So I want to ask you the question. What did Caleb and Joshua see that the other nine did not? I would say they saw, as Trey said, God's promises. But let me say it this way. They saw themselves living in that land and flourishing and prospering. If I might use the analogy, they saw that dog, and that dog looked good, and it was theirs. Now, the reason this becomes so important is if we look at Joshua 14, because they've crossed the Jordan, and yet they haven't fully taken the land. And we're going to start in we're going to read 2 verses, 7 and 10. And this is the account of when Joshua gives to Caleb the land that the Lord had promised him, and he asked for it. In verse 7, Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Now, when you go and look at something and you bring back word, you are describing that picture that has been created by what you looked at. And he'd been in there seeing that land, but he came back saying, let's go get it now. It's ours. You see the difference? He's looking at it, and he didn't look at the physical, but he saw the spiritual. And he said, it's mine. It's mine. And we're talking about things that hinder us receiving. Look at 10. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke those 45 years ago, from the time the Lord spoke this word, Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. Do you see that he maintained that vision of what he saw when he spied out the land of, I'm living in it. It's mine. The Lord gave it to me. I can see myself there. Do you realize that that vision sustained him for 45 years? Not only did it get what he had believed for, it sustained his faith. How many times do you think he and Joshua sat around the campfire saying, now tell me again what the Lord said. Remind me one more time. And I can see him there saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've given us this land. Were they in that land? In their heart they were. That picture in their mind, they were there. As it with respect to healing, whatever we're believing for. I'm believing to see without these glasses. Right now, it wouldn't be fun for you if I tried to read my Bible without them. But I can tell you, I see myself standing here reading without these glasses one day to you. And I give thanks for it very frequently. So, is this just a one-time affair? No. Go to Hebrews 11, 24. Hebrews 11, 24. And what I want to get, the point I want to make here is that when things don't come quickly to us, when the answer seems delayed, don't focus on why. What did I do? What did I do? If you want to ask the Lord, am I missing in some area? Ask him, but don't start condemning yourself. Look at the promise that he gave you. Because that vision, seeing yourself in the condition, calling those things that be not as though they were, that vision is going to sustain you if it takes one day, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. But we must see ourselves in the promise. Now in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, of the anointing, greater riches than the treasures of Israel, for he was looking to the reward. He was looking to the word of the Lord for it. And then cap it on the next verse in 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, how did he endure? For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He saw, but he saw in the spirit. Seeing him who is unseen. Look at Jonah 2:4. The book of Jonah is taken on new meaning in my life in these last 4 years, because a verse out of here is what the Lord used to get me here today. But when he was in the belly of the whale, he was praying and he said, I've been expelled from your sight. So where is he? In the belly. Whale. Big fish. I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter. He can't see squat. You understand that? And I can imagine what he's smelling. And then he says, nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Well, he couldn't see a temple. He couldn't see that temple if he was out of the well, because it's in the heavenlies. But where was his vision? The same place Jesus' was when it said, and Jesus looked up. Seeing his Father, seeing the promise, seeing what he was supposed to be doing. And so I wanted you to see that. I want you to get this revelation of when I have this vision, and even though I don't have it in my hand physically, if I keep my focus on it and I keep being in a state or an attitude of gratitude or a state of thanksgiving, I can stay strong and endure just like Moses did. Just like Caleb and Joshua did for 45 years. Because they saw it. They saw it. So now, let's begin to just talk about us. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk there is the word, I think, peripateo, which means to walk around, to meander. I might say, in living life, do it by faith, not by sight. Now, what does it tell us don't do? Don't walk by sight. Here, it's the word for sight literally means to see. And it's talking about what? The physical realm. Don't let the things that your five senses, seeing, feeling, etc., don't let them be what sets the floor or the rock that you stand on. And it says, instead, walk by faith. Monday morning, late Monday morning, as I was beginning to praying about this, and this is the first verse that I had written down, the Lord said to me, walking by faith is seeing. It's seeing in the realm where I am. Walking by faith is seeing. It is seeing in the realm where I am. So that changed my whole perspective on what faith is. And we can see a definition for it. But seeing it is the key. F.F. Bosworth, in his book, Christ the Healer, says, walking by faith, by sight is by sight of a better kind. So, it's more, walking by faith is more than just seeing what the optic nerve in your eyes sends to your brain. Walking by faith is seeing in the realm that God sees. Now, let's go back to what Trey was talking about, prayer and fasting last week. The word spiritual sensitivity, ability to discern what is from God and what's not from God. Because in this spiritual realm, you're also going to have thoughts planted in your head by the devil that are going to try to get you to go back and align your thoughts with the things that you're seeing with your physical eyes. And we're teaching this now with respect to healing today. Look at John 14, and we'll look just at the 9th verse. In John 14, Jesus had been talking to the disciples. In the 9th verse, he's responding to Philip, who in 8 said, Jesus had been talking about knowing the Father, knowing Him. And Philip said to him in 8, Lord, show us the Father. Catch that word, show. See, show. Show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you had not come to know? Seeing, showing, and knowing. Seeing and knowing. Have you yet not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, why am I reading this one? I believe it's two things that the Lord showed me. The connection between seeing and knowing, and that's going to continue. But the other one is that the fact that, do you realize that the disciples were seeing God displayed? Because Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And this is nearing his end time on earth. This is in those last few chapters of John 14, 15, 16, 17. Some of my favorite scriptures there. And they have been seeing Jesus the whole time, yet they did not see the Father. And they saw Jesus through their own hands, by the works of their own hands. Because they laid hands on people. They cast out demons. And yet, they did not see. They did not perceive what they were seeing. They did not see walking by faith in that spirit realm. Look at Acts 28. Now you can see this same set of scriptures in Matthew 13. When they're in red letters here, but I wrote down Acts 28, so we'll just stay here. And you can see it, some of them again in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. Verse 26. I'm sorry. Of Acts 28. Saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you won't understand, and you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. What are they hearing and seeing? Things in the physical realm. But they're not understanding, they're not perceiving. Okay, 27. For the heart, whoops, I can't read that fast. For the heart of this people has become dull. And their ears scarcely hear. Let me go back. For the heart of this people has become dull. You say, well, that's not me. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? I'm not talking about it's wrong to watch something on TV. Where are you consumed? What are you consumed with? What is your passion? Because if it's not Jesus, then you are running the risk of your heart becoming dull. That's not ugly. That's just the way it is. I mean, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, what does he say? let us lay aside sin? Yeah. And those things which entangle us. So he's making a delineation between things that take our attention away from him, and he's saying these are different than sin. So we have to recognize that. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. All right, with their ears, they're scarcely hear. Which ears is he talking about there? Their spiritual ears, able to see, able to hear those spiritual things. They scarcely hear. And look at this next phrase. They have closed their eyes. We don't need to say and just pray, Lord, open my eyes. You got the Spirit of God living in you. Your spiritual eyes couldn't be more open. But you've got to be aware of it enough to let them see. Because if you don't, otherwise, they're going to see with their eyes and hear with their ears. If they do that, then they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return. And look at this, and I will heal them. So they're getting that, you're getting that picture with these words. And that phrase is important. Psalm 27:13, you don't have to turn there, just says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. This tells me I don't need to say, Lord, make me see, make me see, make me see. This says, I have to believe the Lord that he's put this inside me that I can see. And when I believe to see, I will see. What am I looking to believe? What am I looking at to believe I see? We play a role in this seeing. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:12, comparing himself and his spiritual perception to as looking through a dirty glass or a mirror, says, for now I see, and I'll say I for him, I see in a mirror dimly, but face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just fully, just as I have been known. So what is he saying? He's implying that we can fully see and fully know, but yes, he's talking about when I see Jesus. But I want to say to you and I, encourage ourselves to not just stay down here saying, because I'm in this flesh, I can't see, because that's not what Paul was saying. There's a long way between beginning this walk and then being able to fully see over here when Jesus returns. And we ought to be well down that spectrum. We don't have to stay over there. So don't see yourself as having to be locked in that environment. Paul in Ephesians 1:17 talks about, I pray that the eyes of your heart being enlightened. So your intercessor is praying that prayer for you now. You ought to be praying it over yourself, believing that I can hear and I can see. I remember listening, and I don't remember if I heard it directly from Brother Hagin or from Keith Moore that I listened to a lot. But Brother Hagin, I had this written down. As the time for his return draws near, there will be an increase of seeing and knowing. And that's going to have to happen for you and I if we're going to go out and take what we're hearing in here out. But let me tell you, it applies equally as much for you to receive what you have need of today. Don't just look at that from a ministry. Consider Jesus. What did he say? I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see him do. Now, we take Jesus and we put him up on a pole, exalting him way above what we could ever do. He's a man when he walked this earth. He laid aside those godly privileges, Philippians 2:7. He walked on this earth as we did. The Holy Spirit came and it stayed on him. So he's the one who's teaching us how to walk as a man filled with the Spirit. Ah, that sounds like you and I, born again today. And yet we think he just walked around hearing God and seeing God. Do you think he walked around in a trance all the time like some nut? If he had, kids wouldn't have flocked to him. They would have thought he was weird. Yet some people today think they got to be weird compared to everybody else. I'm going to tell you, the most normal Christians, the strongest Christians I know, are people who is just as normal as anybody you would ever meet. There's no weirdness about them because they're walking in the confidence just like Jesus did. So I don't believe Jesus walked around with a TV screen in his head all the time just seeing visions in a trance. What happened? I believe as he walked into the porches, the Lord said, look at this man. And he knew exactly who to look at. There in the pool of Bethesda by those five porticos. He knew exactly what to do. We take Jesus and we think we can't do things like he did because we try to make them spectacular instead of supernatural. And if you are trying to see visions and you are trying, and I'm not saying visions are bad. I've seen one or two things. And we take hearing and we want to make it like audible. It's only happened to me, and I'm not even sure it happened these times, twice in all my walk. But if we are looking for that type of thing, then we are going to miss that still small voice inside us, giving us instruction, painting that picture in our hearts, in our soul, of his promises. Now, with all that, let's let the rubber hit the road today concerning healing. When we read 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. How do you read that verse? Let me ask this question. Has this verse painted a picture inside you? And the one you see in that verse is you? Should be. Now, what do we do? What happens here? We start to read 1 Peter 2:24. And you say something like, and I can say this because I've done it. Well, I've heard that before. Or, I know that. And let me just tell you, if you're saying it like that, oh, I've heard that before and I know that, then you haven't heard it and you haven't known it. Because when we put this verse up here, if it has painted a picture of you in your spirit through times of meditating it, muttering it, saying it, Lord, show me what this means. Teach me about this. Praying about it. Spending time with him. Letting that picture be developed in you by these words. Then when we read this verse, you're going to be coming out of your seat. That's not condemnation. But folks, the worst enemy I think we face is familiarity. We think we know something, but we haven't seen it inside. So let's take some others. Mark 5. When the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just put my hand on his clothes and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. When you read that account, who do you see in that account? Do you see yourself in the crowd? Gosh, I hope we see some miracles today. On the other end of that spectrum is, do you see yourself as Jesus, the one carrying the anointing so folks can come in touch? But if we need to receive something, do you see and do you get excited and let the joy rise up and the thanksgiving rise up because you see yourself instead of seeing that woman going and sitting on the throne with him? If we don't get this in our heart, what is it Robert says? Things that you know in your head ain't going to bring you results for you. It's what's in your heart, where your believer is. For me, there's a scripture in Hebrews 12, 12 and 13 that talks about feeble knees. I've had surgery on both knees. And they still hurt after I had surgery. But I've gotten to a point through the Holy Spirit where this verse that talks about feeble knees and it ends up saying being healed, I see my knees when I read that verse. How about the man with the withered hand? Maybe it was arthritis. How about somebody with blind eyes or can't see well? Who do we see when we read a scripture and Jesus said, look up and receive your sight? Do we see ourselves doing that? Or do we see that as an account for somebody else? The man with the withered hand, and I'll close with this one, stretched forth his hand. And we'll probably talk next time I teach healing school about hearing and doing. Stretched forth his hand. Well, if he could have stretched forth his hand, he would have done it a long time ago. But what does he do? He does what the Lord tells him to do. And when he reaches the point that he can't go any further, the power of God connects with his faith that's being exhibited by doing it. And his hand is straight. But he had to have a picture in his mind that he told me to stretch forth my hand. And what he saw is my hand like this. This has just gone deep in me this week in some things I'm believing for. I haven't got into this and fought to make this picture mine. And what I, the seed that I believe the Lord wanted to plant to us today is that don't try to have a perfect faith, because we know that when the Father said, I believe, but help my unbelief, Jesus was there to help. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to give you another one just like me, in every respect, just like me. That's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So lean on that teacher. Lean on that coach. Holy Spirit, help me to see myself in here. I know this verse is talking about me. Let me see myself that way. Meditate on it. Pray about it. And most of all, hallelujah, Lord, it's mine. Thank you for my healing. My hand's still like this. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. And one day, your hand is going to, as you raise to be prayed, is going to be like that. Whatever your problem is. A lady last night said to a couple of us, I came here knowing nothing but receiving love. And I had these problems. And she said, I came and I sat and I heard Trey teach and Robert teach and heard you teach. And she said, this day I'm free. What happened? That word created a picture in her, and she saw herself free. That word grew and grew and grew so that there's no longer any room. There's no longer any image of herself not being free. Folks, this is ours. Let the word, let his promises paint that picture. See yourself in him in those pictures. It's not about you getting your body to do anything. It's about letting ourselves being in him, let his healing power work for us.